Give thanks in all circumstances. Does God really expect us to do that? You know, I am reminded of in the land of peanuts, you know, Charlie Brown and Snoopy, and it's Thanksgiving Day, and Snoopy is seeing all the extra food that's brought in, the turkey and the dressing and the pies and so forth, and he's just salivating, and all the aroma is filling the air, and all of a sudden, Charlie Brown brings him his very similar bowl with the same dog food in it, and the little bubble above his head says, "Life just isn't fair. The rest of the world is eating turkey with all the trimmings, and all I get is dog food. Because I am a dog, all I get is dog food." And then he stares at the food on the table again, and in a moment of contemplation, he says, "I guess it could be worse. I could be a turkey." Now, although Snoopy found something to be thankful for, his thankfulness was based on comparison. It was based upon that things could be worse. And certainly there is a thing where we ought to realize that things could be worse, and we ought to be thankful that they're not worse. But as I read the scriptures, I see that God expects us more than just to have kind of a negative approach to thankfulness. He doesn't want us like the Pharisee who was standing in the temple that says, "God, I thank you that I'm neither a Samaritan, a woman, or a dog." That's not the kind of attitude that God wants us to have. In fact, in the Word of God, we see this repetitively, and what I'm going to make an argument scripturally today is that a clear sign, a determinant factor that your faith is growing and that you're walking as Jesus walks, is that your life is filled with thankfulness and a grateful heart. In fact, the Scripture says that when you walk as Jesus walked, you will overflow with thankfulness. It's not something that you have to conjure up and say, "Well, I really need to be thankful." It is something in the life of Christ within us that makes us thankful. Now, would you stand in honor of the Word of God? We'll be reading from Colossians chapter 1 to begin with, and several passages in the book of Colossians, and then I'll share some of the ones that are here in your sermon notes in Thessalonians and Ephesians. I'd like you first to go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, and this is from the New American Standard Version. It says this: "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints." He begins by saying, and so many of his letters say, "We give thanks." Look at verse 12 now. "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his saints." Now, if you'll turn to chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." Chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." In chapter 4, verse 2, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keep an alert in it, with an attitude of thanksgiving." Then in your sermon notes, we have 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 19. "Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." And then Ephesians 5:18 to 20. "Be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Lord, today we're going to look at a marker of life in Christ, and that is one of gratitude, one that bubbles up from within us, that is not based on the circumstances without. Lord, thankfulness is a mark of humility. of dependency of Christ's life in us. And so, Lord, today, help us to be thankful. Remind us that it is the walk of obedience. But also, Lord, would you check our spirits and to see if there's anything missing and something amiss in our life today. We want your Holy Spirit to come in and to teach us, correct us, rebuke us, and to train us in all righteousness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we begin to look at thankfulness, I think certainly as Americans, you know, we could have all sorts of statistics about why we should be some of the most grateful people. But again, we would be comparing ourselves if we would be doing that. But I just want to just say today, the idea of being grateful is throughout scriptures, and it is embodied in the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ himself. And it's so much more than having enough food to eat and a nice home to live in, good health and financial security, because each of those things could be taken away in an instant. Living a life of thanks is a state of being and a way of living, and it is based upon our relationship with the one true God. One good thing to remember is that giving thanks, expressing gratitude, generates growth in our life. And when you begin to grow in your spiritual life, you will realize that there will be accompanied along with it thanksgiving. In fact, one way to ensure that your growth takes place and that you're touched by God's grace is to be grateful in the difficult circumstances and in the situations of life. H.U. Westermeyer said and wrote about the pilgrims that helped found America this phrase: the pilgrims made 7 times more graves than huts. No Americans have been more impoverished than these who nevertheless set aside a day of thanksgiving. The scripture tells us we ought to be overflowing with thankfulness and to do it in all circumstances, no matter what happens. So let's just ask ourselves the question, what makes thanksgiving so difficult? Why is it difficult to be thankful? And I just want to share a few things scripturally with us. I think the first one's pretty obvious. That's Colossians chapter 2 here. Let's move on to the next slide. And it's, well, where did that happen? I guess I don't have that in here, so you're just going to have to really listen to me, okay? Here's why it's difficult. Now, don't complain about it. You're just going to have to listen, okay? Here's what it is. Complaining is easier. It is just easy. Complaining comes naturally, doesn't it? I mean, you do not have to be intentional to pick out things that you don't like in life. You don't have to teach negativity to a 2-year-old. No. Not going to do it. I'm going to be stubborn. And listen, what you do have to teach yourself is how to look positively, how to intentionally be thankful in life. Notice what it says here. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Why does Paul write that to Christians? Because it is much easier to argue and complain about things that you don't like or things that you think need to be different or about personalities. Earlier in this passage, we have this, he said, have the same attitude within you, which was also in Christ. And he talks about how he humbled himself and came to earth and became obedient to Christ. Jesus left glory to reside with a bunch of sinners like you and me. The sinless one was at home with sinners. And yet you see Jesus confronting sin, reaching out and being thankful. It's easier to complain. In fact, I could even argue this. It's funner to complain. It's easier to have a party of complainers than it is about people that are trying to make a difference and a positive influence in life. One negative thought can turn a whole conversation, can it? I think we just need to recognize that and to say, I have to be intentional if I am going to be a thankful person. Someone once said, most of us are better than criticism than praise. It reminded me something that I learned or saw about a month and a half ago. And it said this: if you have a bad experience, the average person will tell a minimum of 10 people. This is personally tell. That's not just getting on Facebook and stuff, but you will, with your mouth, tell a minimum of 10 people if you have it. If you have a positive experience, you may tell one person. People study these things. It's just interesting. We are more geared and prone to the negative things. Let's go on. The next one is a what's in it for me attitude. This idea, now we don't like to call it selfishness, but a lot of times we even want, even our charity sometimes is based upon what's in it for me. There's a whole new idea, and actually there's some writings of this in the Christian community about how many times our charity is now based on what that person gets out of what they're giving. And I guess there's nothing wrong with that necessarily, as long as that we don't live our life based upon what's in it for me. God has called us to serve. Listen to what the scripture tells us. Then he said, beware and be on guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. The more stuff we accumulate, the more we have to take care of. And the more things that break, the more things our lives, we live more cluttered lives as Americans than ever before. And we can get caught up in the race to collect more stuff. It's why we as a local congregation back in 2009 began to do this thing called Advent Conspiracy. And what we encourage us to do is not get caught up in the consumer mentality of our world and just buy more gifts. You realize that today, this morning, there are people that are already camped out by stores for Good Friday deals or Black Friday deals, Thanksgiving deals. It's been on the news. People are always looking for the next little thing that they have, the next gadget, be the first one that is in there. But we are saying that the real meaning of Christmas should not move us to be consumers, but it should move us to have a heart of compassion. The message of Jesus is that he came into this world and he came to serve. And so we say we want to worship God fully. We want to spend less. Let's not just get caught up and buy unnecessary gifts for people, and let's be more focused in those gifts. And if we're going to spend less, let's give more. How do we give more? Well, instead of buying that extra tie for a person that really doesn't need it, why don't we do something significant? I'm going to share just a little bit later where we're going to focus our money. But I just want to share, in 2009, over $15,000, this blew me away. This congregation, over the Christmas season, gave over $15,000 to water wells. And we dug 3 water wells in Mozambique, and we also were able to show the Jesus film. In 2010, the ministry that we focused on was Heart Choices Pregnancy Center out of Beloit, and helping people with counseling and encouraging people that found themselves in crisis pregnancies to have that child. Around $5,500 was raised to that church through our church for Hard Choices. In 2011, we focused on Burkina Faso, and almost $9,000 was raised to redig wells and repair wells in Burkina Faso, where Chelsea Horkman is. And last year, almost $7,000 was raised for water well projects in West Africa. Now listen, the numbers don't matter. What really does matter, it does matter. I mean, it takes money to do these kind of projects. But what really matters is that what that tells us is as a heart, we're not just adding more giving and something else in the budget, but people are reorganizing their life to be significant and intentional in our ministries at Christmas time. I have other families that I hear that through the church, since we started that, they've started buying goats or sheep for people in Haiti and various things. And it's encouraging to hear that people are saying, we're going to do this in honor of people. You could place Gideon Bibles. You could do other things that are much more significant with your money and make a bigger impact in the kingdom. Then we look at the precious is taken for granted. It's another thing that takes place. Why is Thanksgiving difficult? The precious is taken for granted. Look what the Psalm 103 says. Bless affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. It was Ralph Waldo Emerson that said that if the stars came out only once a year, everyone would stay up all night to behold them. But because they come out every night, no one bothers so many times to even look at it. And God knows our tendency to forget. That's why he tells us to remember. That's why he reminds us to remember. That's why we do things like have the Lord's Supper and communion. Don't forget what God has done for you. Keep the precious a priority in your life. That's what many of the songs of the faith do. They remind us what God has already done in our lives. We have wrong expectations many times. That's the next bullet there. Wrong expectations. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. We don't want to go through life like the person who put on their gravestone, "I expected this to happen." You know? We want to be people that don't complain when things don't happen to go. Listen, the people, when they were complaining in the midst of adversity, they had the presence of God going with them. They had just been miraculously delivered from slavery, but they expected things to be different. And the source of most of our frustrations is when our expectations are not met, and many times we have placed the wrong expectation. And we often have higher expectations for other people than we have for ourselves. And we tell ourselves, well, if I just had this, then I would have this. It's the when and this. When I get this, then I will be happy. When this happens, listen, we play these games with ourselves. And someone once wrote, if you choose to live in a culture of complaint, you will die in the desert in graves of craving. They were craving the wrong things. Let's go on. The wrong priorities. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life. This comes out of a life of thanksgiving, doesn't it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Notice what it says here. Those who have who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Gratitude is what makes it possible to be bowed low by grief and pain, to be brought to one knees by the agony, and yet to defiantly raise our eyes and look around and believe that the view from this angle of pain could become a gift. And listen, we have people in our church that have been before you and have shared about in some of the worst and most difficult situations how God helped them to see what really was important in life. And it helped them to walk in obedience to God. Now, let's talk about not just what things can make it difficult, but it's how do we actually live this life of being thankful? And I want to share three things here with you. The first thing is this. An upper story perspective leads to a life of thankfulness. We just came through 31 weeks of talking about that God always has an upper story. And it's when we align ourselves with the upper story, we can kind of be grateful to God for the things that he is doing. Look what Psalm 103 says. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. And may I never forget the good things that he does for me. He forgives all my sins and he heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and he crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. From an upper story perspective, you can agree with the word of God in the book of James that says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of life. Light in which there is no shiftiness or no shadows. You can agree with Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations chapter 3 that says, every day new mercies I see. Great is your faithfulness, God. When you follow the story of those that God has worked through, you find how they cultivated this heart of thanksgiving. Over the last year, we've read about Daniel. And one of the things in Daniel's life, when the law was passed against his being able to pray to God. You know what he did? He went back into his chamber. He opened up the window, and like he did for three times a day. And here's what the Word of God tells us in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. He went home and he knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he always had done, giving thanks to his God. You've memorized this. And whatever you do, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. We read earlier, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sing hymns and songs and spiritual songs among yourself and make music to the Lord in your hearts and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, thankfulness is a sign that you are depending upon God. That you're realizing that he has an upper story, that he's working, that he is the God who can cause all things to work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And you with thankfulness say, God, you have called me to your purpose, and I have aligned myself to your purpose. So whatever I'm going through, you will work and you will use for eternal value and for good. Thankfulness acknowledges your need, and as a result, it sparks a reflex of gratitude toward both the gift and the giver. Charles Spurgeon wrote, I fear there are thousands who call themselves Christians who are not thankful, and yet they have never thought themselves very guilty on that account. And he says, and in his writings, there are basically two distinct ways in which believers are ungrateful. The first is, we receive from God's hand daily blessings without ever giving thought as to where they come from. Many of you know the hymn, Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one. The second thing is, he says, we grumble for what we don't have. We complain about what we don't have. If it's manna, we wish we had quail. If it's cereal for breakfast, we wish we had eggs. If it's $500, we wish we had $1,000. If we don't have cancer, we complain that we have arthritis. If we have a car, we wish we had another one. We dream of a better job because we could be doing so much better than we are now. And complaining goes all the way back to Adam in the garden, who willingly and excitedly accepted the gift of Eve. He looked at her and said, whoa, man. And then, when he would disobey God, he said, the woman you gave me handed it to me. Goes all the way back to the sin nature, our complaining and blaming God. So what do we need to do? To keep an upper story perspective, we need to thank God continually for what he has done. Isaiah 12 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And in that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name and make known his deeds among the people. Make them remember that his name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Listen, most of what we are called to remember in this area is an act of faith. You weren't there where God created the heavens and the earth. Here's where faith and thankfulness work together. But Hebrews 11 tells us it is by faith that we understand that God created the heavens and the earth from nothing. We weren't there when God freed Israel from Egypt, parted the Red Sea, provided manna from heaven, made the sun stand still, when Jesus turned the water into wine, healed the leper, fed the 5,000, died on the cross, arose again from the dead, and ascended into heaven. We accept that all by faith. But you know, I can also thank God for this, because this is something he has done. I was there when I came to the understanding that I'm a sinner and I needed a Savior. And forgiveness. And I can remember as a child the joy that I experienced when I believed that Jesus came and forgave me of my sins. I was there when God began to place his call upon my life to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I remember the awesome presence of God coming over me when I was ordained as a minister of that very gospel. And I can remember at various times how God has intervened in my life. And I wonder if this week, maybe this afternoon, maybe later this week, that you ought to just start making your list. God, I thank you for what you have done in my life. Some will be sharing that tonight at the Thanksgiving, thanking God for what he's done in their life in this church family. God, I thank you that you've given me a history of following you, because you're going to use it to be a representative of you. The storybooks are only going to be, we're only going to have them out here in the foyer for one more, this is the last Sunday, and then we're going to kind of put them up and stuff. But those might be Christmas presents for you. But I also, what I wanted to show you is, because several people have asked here, here's something that you can do any Sunday, usually. And the story notes, you basically have an outline of 31 weeks of going through a way to kind of chronicle through. If you go to the website, ConcordiaWesleyan.com, you will see that the sermon notes are available on there for you. You'll also see that there is a place in which that you can listen to various messages. This happens to be chapter 30. So you could direct someone that you had, that you gave the book to, and says, if you'd like to hear any of the messages that's on there. Not that this is the only place that they could do it, but it's a tool that's being used. This website tracks every 24 hours how many different people were there. This Sunday morning I went there, there were 13 people that had visited. This is a way in which people from other countries even can listen to it. But you click on the download.
Well, we continue our journey in the story. We have two more chapters left. And so
chapter 30 that's going to
sure
that and
you
Dave Sprague
and
Dwayne Morris
and
helped make that happen. I was just going to show you this part here. On the website, that's what it looks like. You click on the chapter 30, and you can go to this right here. We'll give you the audio, and this is the notes over there. Very easy to get to, very, very easy to manipulate around. It drops in on your phone if you want that as well. So thank God for what he has done, and then begin to share that story. And one of the ways is not just thanking God, but it's telling others what God has done. When Jesus healed the man at the Gerasenes, he says, go and tell your family and friends the wonderful things that God has done for you. That's how you give thanks to God, and that's how you begin to be thankful and get an upper story perspective. I could go on and on about this. I want to share one more thing. We'll talk about this tonight. We're going to have an Advent devotional, the story of God with us. We're going to be handing these out tonight. What I'm going to ask you to do further is not just take one, but if you'll sign your name up, we as a staff are going to be praying for you and or your family as you do this Advent devotional with us. It starts on December 1st and goes through the Advent season. So that would be starting next Sunday. Let's go on. Not only do we thank God for what he has done, but biblical values lead to a life of thankfulness. Here's what Philippians 4, 6 to 8, and I liked it in the Message paraphrase, because, you know, sometimes those of us that have been around the word so much, we get so familiar with the cadence of Scripture that we don't really pay attention to what it's saying. And I just like this, the way it came across. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Now, that's a way that you can take the negative, and with a heart of thanksgiving, let your worries begin shaped into prayers and say, God, I know there's a bigger story here. There's a greater story. There's something else that's going on. I'm very aware of what I think I see is happening in the lower story. I need to see you, and so the reflex of my heart is going to be praying to you in a heart of thanksgiving. Let God know your concern. Before you know it, and you'll sense God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, and will come and settle down you down. It's wonderful what happens, underline this phrase, when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it up, friends, I'd say to you, you do it best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise and not things to curse. See, biblical values lead to us having the right mindset, the right priorities. When you begin to align your life according to what the Scripture says, then you begin to think rightly about who you are. Are you a sinner? Yes. Have you failed? Yes, you have. But you're one who has been saved by grace, made worthy by Christ's sacrifice on the cross for our sin. That you are God's child. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That God loves you with an everlasting love. That He has saved you and He's reserved a place in heaven. And He has put you as a representative in this world. It changes how you think about yourself. Thinking according to biblical values helps you to think rightly about your resources. That God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. He's the owner and I'm the manager. I can trust Him. The world's image of Jesus, the most probably picture of Jesus, and I think not mistakenly, is not this, but this. God so loved the world that He gave. And if we're going to walk like Jesus have, see, a thankfulness and a generous spirit run hand in hand as well. It is a mark in your life as a follower of Christ. You begin to think right about relationships, that we're all broken people. And just like I needed forgiveness, there are people in my life that need my forgiveness because they are broken as well. And I, as I have received grace, I'm going to be a grace giver and give others the grace and pray that the Holy Spirit would work in their life like He is working in my life. I begin to think right about obedience, that obedience is not an act of duty, but it's an expression of my love to God. Thankfulness changes my motive from obedience, from just clicking off the right box and doing dutiful for work for the Savior, to having a delight that God is good and He desires for me to live a good life as well. Biblical values help me to think right about my purpose in life, that everything I encounter in this world is an opportunity to bring praise to God. And it changes the menial task into instruments that God can use. And so when we read in the Scriptures about Ruth gathering grain, as poor what a woman did in that day, God uses even that act to redeem her life. It's David slinging a sling, not knowing that one day one of the greatest adventures in his life were about to happen with that sling and the pebbles. It's Nehemiah just faithfully being a cupbearer in his life. When you begin to understand that I'm going to do everything I do in honor and the glory of God. In the New Testament, it's Tabitha mending clothes and doing deeds of kindness. And it's Paul and Silas singing at midnight and the Holy Spirit coming. And guess what? The amazing thing wasn't that their chains fell off when the earthquake happened. It's that a Philippian jailer who was about ready to commit suicide came to know Jesus Christ. And if you follow it biblically, you could say it's because Paul and Silas were giving glory to God and thanks in a very difficult circumstances. They had just been beaten and were in stocks and bonds at midnight. And so here's what we do. When you begin to have those biblical values, you thank God for what He is doing right now in you. Not just what He has done, but what He is doing. I have a passage in there about the lepers that were killed. The 10 went to go show themselves. The one came back. Notice this. Jesus recognized and He called out and He gave a greater healing to the one who returned with thanks. Here's what the Scripture says. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of the body, you were called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thanksgiving in your hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Here's some of what God is doing. You're going to see a video now. Operation Christmas Child boxes are going all around the world in this time of season. Many of you participated in that.
But you know that there was an incredible typhoon that hit the Philippine Islands. And our Christmas project this year, there are so many worthy causes that we could be involved in. But what we're going to do through the Advent Conspiracy is we're going to partner with Samaritan's Purse. And we're just going to give money. I have been amazed at how little news, national news, this tragedy has happened. But here's what I'm thankful for. Christian agencies, including the Wesleyan Church, have already been on the ground before this typhoon hit. This is what God was doing. And this was a video that was taken a year ago of a young man named Ralph in the Philippines.
Magandang umaga po. Ako po si Ralph. Ako siyam na taong gulang na. Kung mga kaibigan
like
po,
nagsasara
po kami pagdating po sa bahay namin. Kami po mga kaibigan ko, si Joselito po, at saka po si Joey. Nakatira ako sa Pasumbuayaw.
I live here.
Himus, Cavite. Iyon po ang aming tirahan.
Most days I help my parents pick through the garbage, looking for things we could sell. But today is special. There are gifts waiting for us at school.
Their joy, their gladness as they receive this gift. This is a simple demonstration of God's love.
At excited na po ako.
I can't wait to open mine. I hope I get some school supplies.
This is actually what he prayed for. And this is God's gift just in time because we have just opened up our classes and these gifts will truly demonstrate to them God loves these little children.
The shoebox that contains school supplies, this will help them greatly because education is the only way that he could get out of this dump site.
Literally, this is life-changing. There's a sense of hope, recognizing that there is God who cares for him and even loves him and gave that opportunity to receive eternal life.
I've learned through this shoebox that God loves me. Not only did I receive a gift, but I prayed to receive Christ as my Lord. Knowing God will always love me means everything to me. Now, I know from where Ralph lived, according to the video here, it wasn't the hardest hit area, but there were floodwaters 8 feet deep through there, and there were videos that were shown there. Don't know what's happening, but here's what the Philippines looks in much of this area today. And Samaritan's Purse is going in there doing community water filtration systems, blankets, food, clothing, and we have just learned from the various things that we have been here in the United States working with Samaritan's Purse and their reputation. They do an incredible job. And I, in the midst of devastation, you can thank God for what he has done and what he continues to do. Because out of the rubble,
the message of Jesus Christ is going to bring hope to these people. And let's go on. Number three, we can have confidence in God's promises leads to a life of thanksgiving. When you look at the life of Christ, he took bread so often and he gave thanks. And he said, "This is my body and I'm the bread that came out of heaven." Now, listen, there is nothing in this world to be thankful for from Jesus' point of view for the suffering and the endurance of the cross. But what was he hanging on to? He was hanging on to the promise of God. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and despising the shame. Listen, there are many promises that God not only is doing things in our life, not only has he done things, but many things that he is calling us and promising that he will do. And we need to be thankful in all circumstances because we can thank God for what he will do. You see people thanking him throughout the Bible in all of these things. Would you close your eyes just a second? Put your notes away. And in the midst of everything else, I don't know what all you're going through, but let me share you one of the promises of God. And believe it today, this is what he's called you. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he shall wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write these words, for they are faithful and true." He said, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the springs of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Father, today, we've revisited a truth that we already knew that we needed to be doing, to be thankful. And Father, as we sing in praise and honor of you today, we want to lift you up and we want to give you praise for what you've done, for what you're doing, and what you will do. Lord, these are all acts of our faith, and we give you praise and honor today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us?